Welcome to The Drop, the official podcast of the 130th Airborne. I'm Senior Master Sergeant Eugene Crist from your 130th Public Affairs. It's UTA weekend, so that means another CDS drop.
Joining me on the pod today is Colonel Brian Priest, 130th Wing Commander, Colonel Pat Shard, 130th Deputy Wing Commander, and Chief Master Sergeant Kevin Williams, 130th Wing Command Chief. Colonel Priest, it's October UTA. What are your priorities?
Hey, Eugene, thanks for having us, and welcome back, by the way. Hope you enjoyed Silver Arrow.
Germany was great, as always. Yeah.
Also want to welcome back Colonel Char. It's great to have you back, man. Been on a year-long tour, and it's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Loving being back in the office, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's good to have the team back together. Today, I want to touch on the changes to the way we deploy. I'm going to give an update on that, the changes to the wing structure that are coming. Very briefly touch on EGR, and then get into this drill. Start with the deployment and the way the wing is structured. I just want to offer a disclaimer right off the front. This is what we know now. We want to share with you what we're hearing. It's certainly subject to change. It probably will be tweaked at least a little, but we'll continue to keep you updated with what we know. So deployments starting about 2 years from now, we'll no longer deploy with just ops and maintenance going on their own, and then the rest of the wing deploying in small sections or even individuals. We'll deploy as a wing, and that's a good thing. Probably be about, 50% of the wing will deploy, and we'll meet up with another Air National Guard wing. And between the two of us, we'll form a deployed combat wing. In the past, you might have as many as 90 wings providing personnel. So this will make things go a lot smoother, hopefully, because we'll be familiar with each other. Those deployments will be 180 days long, but there will be an opportunity to swap out 30% of the personnel at the 90-day mark. So that's a good thing. If some people don't want to do the full 180, they should have an opportunity to swap out at 90 if they have a replacement. Also gives two people a chance to deploy in one position. I'll touch on why we did those changes in a moment, but I also want to get to the way the wings are structured, which is related to the deployments. There's really two types of wings in the Air Force going forward. There's going to be an institutional wing and a combat wing. The institutional wing are your training wings, your supply wings, and then your combat wings are like us, ones who deploy and operate in combat. There's an in-place combat wing and a deployable combat wing. We will be the deployable combat wing. And the way the leadership structure is designed right now, there'll be a wing commander and command chief, but no deputy wing commander. And instead, you'll have two deputy commanders, DCOMs they're called, one for operations and one for sustainment. Below that, you'll have a chief of staff. That's currently in an 05 position. Hopefully be an 06 in the future, but right now scheduled for an 05. And by the way, the DCOMs are 06s. Then you have your A staff. It's made up of about 20 personnel. We'll have a SEL, which right now is an E8, but again, I'm hoping that'll be an E9. And then you'll have your A staff directorates. You'll still have your squadrons, which are kind of not really below the A staff, but kind of beside the A staff. The squadrons are mostly unchanged. So what you'll see change in the structure is no more operations, maintenance, and mission support group commanders, superintendents, and staff. That'll be replaced by the A staff and the DCOMs. In addition to the deployable combat wing, we'll also have an airbase wing. It'll be much smaller than our deployable combat wing. Both of these will be part of the 130th, but the airbase wing will have a commander. It'll have a command chief, and it'll have an A staff and some DCOMs, but it'll still be a much smaller section of the wing. They will not be deployable, and their primary mission will be to maintain the base in garrison when the rest of the wing is deployed. As you guys know, we have a federal mission and a state mission, and we have to respond to our state mission even during deployments, and they'll be responsible for that as well as keeping the base operational. So a lot of changes to the way that we're structured and the way we deploy. But what we do, as far as just being good at your job and being ready to go, that hasn't changed. That will always be the same. And if you're an individual wondering how that impacts you, just continue to learn your AFSC and be ready, and you'll have 95% of it wrapped up. EGR, enlisted grade review. If you're a commander, a supervisor, or an individual impacted by EGR, it has been canceled. For most of us, that's a good thing because EGR was taken away a stripe or in some sections in some areas. There's actually one or two areas where it was adding a stripe, but overall we were losing some. So it's a good thing that's been canceled. I do want to add that a form of EGR or enlisted grade review could come again in the future. So always be ready for that. But as of now, that's been paused. Get into this drill. I want to congratulate Lieutenant Colonel Ben Zimmerman being promoted to 06 this weekend. Ben is a member of Air Headquarters now, but a lifelong member of the wing prior to that. And it's a very well-deserved promotion. Really happy for Ben. And you'll probably see him around the base. If you do, please congratulate him or try to stop by his promotion if you can. Also, this drill, for the first time, or a rare case, we don't have any real wing-wide events, no wing formations, no exercises, no UEIs, no REVs, so it's a chance for the squadrons, the groups, to really work on your training, and I hope you take advantage of that. So I'll close with that, with saying that I appreciate everything that the members of the wing has done for the past several years. You've just been phenomenal, and it's a pleasure to work with you, and I'll turn it over to Colonel Chart.
So, you know, being old guys like we are, and I just crossed the 33-year threshold this month, 33 years of service, it really gives you a different perspective, I think, to some of the changes that you just briefed, Colonel Priest. First and foremost, a lot of the structure that you laid out, you know, not having groups, that structure existed early on in my career in, you know, Chief Williams. There was a time when this wing was not a wing. It was an airlift group. Yep. The kind of what we would consider today to be group level leadership were actually labeled deputy commanders. We had a deputy commander for operations, a deputy commander for maintenance, etc. So the more things change sometimes, the more things stay the same, and you tend to see a cyclical nature to change as it goes about. A lot of these changes are profound. Mm-hmm. They will mean a lot to things like force development for officers. They'll mean a lot to our enlisted force and their development. Not having a group structure in a lot of cases will mean changes to business practices like maintenance QA, etc. So it'll be interesting to see how these things play out. As much change as we experience, I do have to point out that, you know, again, you know, this wing still is fundamentally doing a very similar mission to what we've been doing for the last almost 50 years, D-130 airlift. Thus, you know, even though our organizational structure will change, internal processes will change, certainly technology has advanced significantly, especially over the last 15 years. You know, we're still doing essentially the same mission that we've done since the 1970s. That being said, the one thing that I see different today than what I've seen in my career thus far is change is accelerating. And the, you know, part of our motto, again, is to be responsive to change. And we as leaders and as followers, you know, have to do that. Change is coming at us quickly. It is change that is not fully developed or fleshed out. I think to a large degree, our leaders have not yet, we have not had an opportunity to really, you know, think about how impactful a lot of these elements are going to be. And thus, you know, we're going to experience some consternation. We're going to experience, you know, a little bit of doubt or unknown. And that can, you know, create a little bit of uneasiness amongst the force. But why are we doing this? Well, fundamentally, our leaders feel that we need to change how we operate in a deployed environment. We're no longer in a war on terror. We are now focused very clearly on near-peer competition, preparing for what our leaders foresee to be a fight that's coming sooner rather than later. Thus, they are, you know, reorganizing the force accordingly, and we need to embrace this and move forward as best as we can. You know, history shows that the combatant who adapts quickest, the combatant who embraces change the best, is the one who wins. So this is an opportunity for us before we're, you know, in a very different environment to practice this and to, you know, embrace this change as it comes along and, you know, to make the absolute best of it, to work through the challenges that it presents and the problems that it brings forward. I'm confident, number one, in our force's ingenuity.
Me
and their ability to take this and to make it into something that's better even than our leaders have intended it to be. So looking forward to this, and you know, it's coming at us quick. The timelines that I know we get briefed on show things very near term. So, you know, just wanted to kind of provide a little context, sir, to what you just talked about, and, you know, kind of shape a little bit of the why. But, you know, again, fundamentally, we're still doing what we've done for a long time, what generations of members of this wing have done at an extremely high level, and couldn't be more prouder to be back now full time with the wing and with this leadership team. Chief?
So what I intended to say last, I'm going to say first, because that was such an excellent segue to where I wanted to go. So everything,
we honestly don't plan this.
We really don't. So Colonel Priest, you just described all the change that's coming from a organizational perspective. And a big takeaway from what the two of you talked about was it would appear that there's very little change at the squadron level, that will still continue to fly C-130s just like we always have. And while that's 100% factual, I think if we're at the squadron level and we believe that, well, we don't change, I think we're missing an opportunity. And to that end, I want to talk about readiness. We go to our readiness meetings. You look at all those metrics that we talk about in those meetings. We look at IMR, we look at equipment, we look at the number of personnel we have, are they trained? And I gathered this from, you know, from the Wing Commanders Conference that Colonel Priest and I were at, and I got it from another chief, but I've really pondered on it lately. Those are all metrics that get us to the fight. But we're in discussions right now, and all this change is taking place because we're trying to be prepared for great power competition. We're trying to be prepared for a near-peer adversary. It's going to be very different than what we're used to.
Yes.
And so I think at the squadron level, change needs to look like, let's examine some metrics that bring people home. Mm-hmm. How serious do we take TCCC? How serious are we taking firearms proficiency? Our spiritual and physical fitness, our overall wellness, not just a skill level achievement, but am I no kidding an expert in my craft? I think that's what change needs to look like at the squadron level. Just wanted to share that with the wing.
That's a good point.
I think it could be some time well spent.
And I think it fundamentally comes down to how we train, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, historically, if you think back to, gosh, Joint Forge, Joint Endeavor, you know, rotations that we used to do. A lot of what you're talking about, Colonel Priest, is what we used to do then. Mm-hmm. We would take, you know, groups of a couple wings, put them together in a deployed environment, create a command structure out of a mission commander, and on the way down, and, you know, we would, you know, conduct business in that environment. A lot of times we used to train with other wings that we were aligned with. At one time, it was us, Oak City, and Savannah. You know, the 165th and the 137th and us were aligned under a wing commander who was a one-star way back in the day. And, you know, we would train together. We would do exercises together and so forth. And I think we're going to see more of that. I think it helps us, quite frankly, to add some predictability knowing who we're deploying with. Mm-hmm. And knowing that we can train together ahead of that particular deployment. And, you know, that way we're not meeting the person for the first time when we hit the ground, right?
Right.
Exactly.
So I think fundamentally, exactly what you're talking about, at the squadron level even, that's what they're going to see is things like that.
Yes, sir. And, in and amongst all this change that we've been talking about, we talk about control grades a lot, and I just wanted to kind of touch on that. You know, there can be all kinds of speculation about what's going to happen with control grades at the state level. Are we going to gain some? Are we going to lose some? EGR's on, EGR's off. There's going to be an A staff. And I just say from the wing, this wing leadership team, we watch control grades, we look at them, and I don't know what's going to happen. But I can tell you that we're paying attention to it. And I can say that there's a possibility that there could be some movement in the spring, but we'll just have to wait and see, let things fall out like they may.
I know one thing's for sure, you know, Chief, especially on the enlisted control grade side, I don't think this wing has a better advocate than you for our enlisted force.
Well, thank you, sir. Yep.
As you know, fight's the wrong word, but as you, you know, really advocate for our folks and seek to, you know, ensure that they're recognized appropriately for the work that they're doing and that we receive our fair share of resources. You do an incredible job.
Thank you for that, Colonel. I appreciate that.
And he'll fight if he has to.
He will.
Tell Chief Ives I'll scrap with him if I need to. And lastly, sirs, all I have is just a reminder to everyone that the Outstanding Airman of the Quarter nominations be due into your senior enlisted leaders by the end of drill. And that's all I have today.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time.
Thanks. Yep.
And that's going to do it for this episode of The Drop. For more information about the 130th Airlift Wing, visit us on the web at www.130aw.ang.af.mil. Additionally, you can find us on all major social media platforms. Lastly, you can see us in the skies, delivering freedom with courage. This is Senior Master Sergeant Eugene Crist reminding you to stay ready to go.